Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
The Apostle Paul is on his third missionary journey. He began the first and second missionary journeys in Syrian Antioch. And so also the third missionary journey begins in Antioch. If you have a copy of the Bible at hand, please go to the New Testament, Book of Acts, chapter 19. In the first 7 verses we read the following. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Apollos, a Jew from Alexandria, trained in the scriptures, had been sent by the church of Ephesus to Corinth, where he proclaimed the gospel. Meanwhile, Paul traveled through the region of Galatia and Phrygia to Ephesus. Earlier, Christians of Ephesus had asked Paul to stay with them some time. He didn't, but promised to come back. Now the promise comes true. Ephesus was the most important city in Western Asia Minor, nowadays Turkey. Because of its harbor and location at an intersection of major trade routes, Ephesus became a commercial center. It boasted a pagan temple dedicated to the Roman goddess Diana. When Paul arrived in Ephesus, he found some 12 disciples who appeared to be fellow Christians, but with a limited understanding of the gospel. Paul asked whether they had received the Holy Spirit. If they were Christians, they would have received the Spirit, because it is the Spirit who creates faith in Christ. Paul might therefore have wanted to know whether they were baptized in the triune name of God, which refers to the Spirit, or whether any special signs occurred when they were baptized, as it happened with other Christians. The man replied, "We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Paul sought to determine what type of baptism they received and found out it was John's baptism. That was a baptism of repentance, pointing to the coming Messiah. That baptism was preparatory and provisional, stressing man's sinfulness and thus creating a sense of need for the gospel. John's baptism pointed forward to Jesus, who by his death would make possible the forgiveness of sins. The reformer Martin Luther makes the following comment on this matter. This is the difference between the baptism of Christ and that of John. John neither gives nor brings forgiveness of sin. He only points people to him who does bestow it. In John's baptism, forgiveness is promised. In Christ's baptism, it is given. Thus, John's baptism is no longer valid now. Paul baptized the man with Christ's baptism into the name of the Lord Jesus. This removed any doubts about their status as Christians. And then, laying hands on them as a sign of blessing, followed a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the form of speaking in tongues and prophesying. Like on the day of Pentecost, a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit occurred. If you have been baptized either as a baby or in later years with any quantity of water and in the name of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, then your baptism is valid. The Holy Spirit works through baptism and confers forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. If you haven't been baptized yet, please go to a church committed to faithful teaching of Scripture and ask how you can receive this blessed sacrament. What else did the Apostle Paul accomplish in Ephesus? Acts chapter 19 verses 8 to 16 report the following. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. 7 sons of a Jewish high priest named Siva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Paul worked in Ephesus first during 3 months in the synagogue, and then 2 additional years. Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God. As a rule, some believed, but others were stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way. In the early days, Christianity was known as the way. So Paul took with himself the disciples and moved from the synagogue to the hall of Tyrannus, a philosopher and a rhetorician. Possibly that was a room or a school where Paul taught about salvation through Jesus. The disciples may have rented the place because Paul lectured there during 2 years. We can see how widespread the word of the Lord became during Paul's time in Ephesus. Assistants of Paul undoubtedly helped to spread the word in the surrounding area, and several congregations were started, including those mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. As far as we know from the book of Acts, 2 years and 3 months was the longest stay of Paul in one missionary location. The same way the Lord had worked through the Apostle Peter, now he worked powerfully through Paul, doing extraordinary miracles, even through the agency of clothing that had touched him. The purpose of these miracles was to attest to the truth of Paul's preaching. The Lord may have worked these special miracles because of the Ephesians' interest in exorcism and magic. In the sequence of events, some staggering things are told. 7 sons of Siva are introduced. Siva was a Jewish high priest. He may have been related to the high priestly family of Jerusalem, but more likely he took this title himself to make further impression with his magical wiles. Among many practitioners of magic and sorcery in Ephesus, there were traveling Jewish exorcists. Drawn by Paul's ability to drive out evil spirits, they wanted to copy his work. Instead of whatever name they may have used to cast out evil spirits before, they began using Jesus' name because it appeared to be more powerful. A special fact is recorded. One evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" Because Jesus is God, he is known to the demons. Since Paul was one of Jesus' powerful workers, the evil spirits knew him also. The sons of Sceva did not believe in Jesus as God, but simply were using Jesus' name as part of a formula of exorcism. Thus, they had no power over the evil spirit. The evil spirit overpowered the sons of Sceva to the point of stripping off their clothes and injuring them. Jesus Christ overcame the devil and all demons. Through him we are delivered from all evil and protected against the assaults of Satan and his gang. News always spread quickly. So also it happened in Ephesus according to the narrative of Acts chapter 19 verses 17 to 20. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. And many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. The former events made a deep impression on the residents of Ephesus. They recognized the great power of Jesus' name. From Paul's lips, Jesus' name worked miracles, but used by the Jewish exorcists, Jesus' name brought a demonic attack. Many of those who believed came and openly confessed their evil deeds. The word of God produced repentance. Ephesus was rife with those who practiced various forms of magic. Those who had become followers of Jesus no longer wanted to take part in a way of life they recognized was sinful. Sorcerers brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. The books or scrolls contained alleged magical formulas and secret information. Since Ephesus was a center for magical incantations, those scrolls were considered very valuable. 5,000 pieces of silver. A piece of silver was the daily wage for a common worker. The high price was not due to the quality of the books, but to the supposed power gained by their secret rigmarole of words and names. The act of burning publicly the books demonstrated complete rejection of the former lifestyle. The power of God's word was recognized by all. Magic practices of any kind, spells, charms, and the like, have no place in the life of a Christian. Jesus Christ, the Savior, is the solely foundation of the faith and the solely source of blessing.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
What happened next? Let us find out from Acts chapter 19, verses 21 and 22. Now after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." and having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. After 2 years and 3 months, Paul left Ephesus and went to Jerusalem. On his way, he passed through Macedonia and Achaia, places where he had been working before. Paul's ultimate aim was to go to Rome to preach the gospel there. Paul sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia. Erastus was an important figure at Corinth, the city's director of public works at one time. Paul stayed in Asia for a certain time. Meanwhile, back in Ephesus, unfortunate things took place. Acts chapter 19, verses 23 to 27 give account of the following. About that time there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades, and said, "Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and all the world worship." Once more we notice that Christianity is known by the name the Way. Throughout the book of Acts, Christianity repeatedly became a reason for people to react, to oppose, and to promote disturbances. The power of God's word touches people's lives, values, ways of making a living, and so on. Ephesus was a city in which all kinds of pagan beliefs, idolatry, and sorcery prevailed. And some people made their living on the basis of those religious practices. Ephesus became famous because of the temple of the great goddess Artemis. Artemis is the Greek name for the Roman goddess Diana. She was revered as a fertility goddess and worshipped throughout Asia. The temple was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the glory of Ephesus. 525 feet long and 220 feet wide, having 127 wide marble columns, 62 feet high and less than 4 feet apart. In the inner sanctuary stood the many-breasted image of Artemis, supposedly dropped from heaven. A silversmith named Demetrius called a meeting of colleagues and related businessmen who made silver shrines of Artemis. Each trade had its guild, and Demetrius was probably a responsible leader of the guild for the manufacture of silver shrines and images. These shrines and images were probably sold to worshippers for use as votive gifts in the temple of Artemis. It became a lucrative business for Demetrius and the workmen in related trades. Demetrius presented two primary concerns if Paul was not stopped. One, the industry of silver shrines of Artemis would continue to suffer. And two, people could begin disregarding Artemis herself, along with her temple. Demetrius called for support to do something about Paul immediately. He sought the help from workers, establishing a trade union, as it were. Did Demetrius succeed in his proposal? We shall know from Acts chapter 19, verses 28 to 34. When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" So the city was filled with the confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. And even some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and were urging him not to venture into the theater. Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Some of the crowd prompted Alexander, whom the Jews had put forward. And Alexander, motioning with his hand, wanted to make a defense to the crowd. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours they all cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Demetrius was successful in stirring up the craftsmen. They went in the streets and started a public demonstration shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Soon the population of Ephesus joined in the demonstration. Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, were seized. The crowds rushed into the theater. The theater in Ephesus could hold circa 25,000 people and was often used for large public gatherings. Paul wanted to go out and speak to the crowds, but his disciples found it too dangerous and prevented him to do so. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, insisted he should not go to meet the crowd. There was confusion, shouting, and most people did not even know why they were there. When it comes to this stage, crowds can get wild and break out in violence. The Jews pushed Alexander to the front, and some of the crowd shouted instructions to him. They probably wanted Alexander to defend their reputations, so the assembly would not associate them with Paul. The attempt, however, backfired, because when the crowd realized that Alexander was a Jew, he was not allowed to give a speech. The crowd shouted him down. They recognized that the Jews were not worshippers of Artemis. Why should they listen to him? The situation seemed to get out of control. But then a timely intervention was made, as we hear from Acts chapter 19, verses 35 to 41. "And when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, 'Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Artemis, and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky? Seeing then that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash. For you have brought these men here, who are neither sacrilegious or blasphemers of our goddess. If therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly. For we really are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion.' And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly." The city clerk intervened. He was the principal metropolitan officer of Ephesus, whom the Roman government would hold responsible for civic disorder. In modern terms, he was the mayor. The city clerk was the most important local official and the chief executive officer of the assembly, acting as go-between for Ephesus and the Roman authorities. The clerk appealed to the glory of the city and called the crowd to be proud of what they had got in the city. The city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky. Ephesus was widely known as the special seat of the worship of Artemis. According to legend, the statue of Artemis had fallen from the sky. It may have been a meteorite, and now resided in the temple dedicated to her. The city clerk wanted the crowd to believe that the fact that the city was the guardian of the temple of Artemis gave them enough reason to be quiet and not do anything rash. In a certain sense, he defended Paul and his companions. He said that they were not criminals who robbed temples or spoke harsh words against Artemis. They simply preached about Christ Jesus. So if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen had any complaint, they should take it to the proper place, the courts and the proconsuls. They should seek a legal method to solve their problem. The clerk directed the crowd to settle matters in a legal assembly and not in a riot. A riot would be ruled out from the beginning by any official authority. Legal assemblies were ordinarily held 3 times a month. Any issue should be discussed and settled there. Apparently, the city clerk was successful in dealing with the furious craftsmen and the crowd. After his speech, he dismissed the assembly and nothing else about the issue is heard later. Today, revolts and riots are quite frequent all over the world. Many times the rioters lose control over their feelings and actions. Violence breaks out, properties are destroyed, people are hurt and killed. The alternative means to express discontentment and react against injustice is following the legal way of the country, be it by a peaceful public demonstration, be it by taking matters to court, or by the election of officials. May God guard us against riots and violence and help us to be peacemakers.
The study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.